booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Friday Eve. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Happy Friday Light. Friday
That's
Eve,
right.
Friday Light, yes.
Friday Eve, right?
Yes, it is. I'm looking forward to the weekend, actually, because the weather is going to be really nice.
Me too.
Yes.
And by the way, I must say, Juliet Huddy, I listened to the podcast of your interview with Megyn Kelly. I thought you were quite good, but I'm a fan, so that goes without saying. And I appreciate the fact that towards the end you gave me a little bit of a shout-out, which was very kind.
Of course I do. I love my Frank Morano.
That's very nice.
All right, so let's talk about the weather. First of all, I love my weather when it's not raining. And unfortunately, today I'm not going to get some pleasing information, unfortunately, because it is going to be 77 degrees and we'll have scattered thunderstorms starting through the morning. They'll become more widespread, unfortunately, this afternoon. Some of these storms may be severe. The thunderstorms are actually going to continue through the evening. We're going to drop down to about 70 degrees, but then after about midnight, the skies will start to clear up. And that is going to bring us into a beautiful, beautiful Friday. The only negative thing I could say about Friday is that the humidity will be fairly high. But hey, we'll take it because the temperature is going to be 81 degrees, which is prime temperature for sun, beach, pool, all that kind of stuff. We're going to have mostly sunny skies as well, which is great. Friday night, we're dropping down to 60 degrees. We'll have a mostly clear sky, 64 low. And then Saturday, we'll get to 80 degrees, mostly sunny skies, but this is the good news. The humidity drops down, and so we're going to be having it. This is going to be picture perfect, an absolutely beautiful day. Saturday night, maybe a few clouds, no big deal. Sunday, we're looking at 79 degrees with partly cloudy skies early on, and then increasing clouds through the afternoon, showers probably developing later on in the day. And as we head into the work week, it's looking actually okay. Monday looks very nice, 82 degrees, mostly sunny skies, and a decent amount of humidity, not too bad.
What are you going to do with all that nice weather this week?
I am going to go to my neighbor's pool tomorrow night.
Hmm.
And then I'm going to go to my neighbor's pool on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I'm probably going to sleep a lot.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good plan for the
weekend. What are you up to this weekend?
I have, tomorrow I was going to meet some friends of mine here in Manhattan for cocktails in the afternoon, try and go home early. I have this group of friends that I usually get together with every Friday night. Maybe I'll meet up with them. And then Saturday we're actually having a small barbecue over at our house on Staten Island. And Sunday.
Shea Morano.
Yes, at Shea Morano. I don't know if we have plans on Sunday, which is just fine with me because there's a lot of chores around the house that I need to catch up on.
Well, I've got my mom in town, which is always adding to the fun, and she brings her cat and her two dogs, so it's going to be a menagerie at our house over the weekend, but it'll be fun. Let's get to some headlines, and this one, Frank, is so disturbing about the Brooklyn mom. You heard Deb mention it, who fell down those stairs during this robbery. She has passed away. We're going to tell you a bit more about that story after we get through our traffic report with Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joe. Happy Thursday, Friday Light, excuse me. Joe, hello.
We're all in pretty good shape. You know, it's actually, I just heard from my son. He lives out in Western New Jersey. It's 57 degrees where he is.
Really?
Yeah, it's chilly, yeah.
Well,
here we go. As you begin to travel out on the Jersey Turnpike south of that Western Spur, right around 15E. And again, that is going to be closed for the ongoing road work. Horizontal Bridge, lower level, it looks like in both directions closed on the overnight. That shouldn't be too much longer. On the Cross Island, now northbound at Hempstead Turnpike, you've got an accident. It looks like mass transit, at least so far, going to be pretty much on or close to schedule. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations, once again today, are going to be in effect. So we're off to a pretty good start. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, let's get back into that story, Frank. This is so upsetting. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when it happened, and we've sort of been giving you updates. A Brooklyn mother who was with her son walking up a flight of stairs down on the Canal Street subway station, they were actually mugged, and her son was pulled down the stairs. She was grabbed by the son, and she ended up falling backwards. She has died, unfortunately. The Post is reporting that Than Huy 58 years old, just 58, died Wednesday, one day after her family said on their GoFundMe page that she would not survive after undergoing brain surgery, and they plan to donate her organs. It's so incredibly sad. The page, by the way, raised more than $48,000 for the family before it was shut down this week. And she, again, was with her 22-year-old son on the way to a doctor's office appointment on July 17th, when they were attacked from behind at the Broadway and Canal Q Line station down in Chinatown. Their attacker is on the loose. He tried to grab her backpack, or the son's backpack, rather, as the two climbed the stairs. And again, they both fell, and unfortunately, she has not made it, which is incredibly sad.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
So senseless.
In addition to the GoFundMe that you mentioned, there is also a reward being offered for any information that leads to the capture of the perpetrators of this horrific attack. And on the Cats Roundtable, or the Cats at Night show yesterday, John Catsimatidis, the owner of our radio station, actually indicated that he is putting up $10,000 towards that reward as well. So hopefully they're able to catch this person very soon, but it's a sad situation all around. A tsunami threat's been called off in Hawaii after a powerful 8.2 earthquake shook Alaska. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center says, based on all available data, there's no tsunami threat to Hawaii at this time. A tsunami watch was posted as far south as Guam after a shallow earthquake struck the Aleutian Islands Wednesday night, about 500 miles southwest of Anchorage. Tsunami warnings are still in effect for much of southern Alaska. There have been no immediate reports of damage or injuries.
A horrific attack downtown. It happened actually on the Lower East Side. A daughter stabs her mother five times after the mother refused to recite the Santeria religious prayer. This is according to police. This happened around noon on Tuesday in the family's apartment on Madison Street. The 33-year-old woman is identified as Jacqueline Cordero. She grabbed a butcher knife from the kitchen, threatened to kill her mom, her 60-year-old mom, if the mom didn't say this prayer. The mom refused, so the daughter stabbed her once in the stomach and then four more times, according to police. The mother was able to escape. She called 911 from a neighbor's apartment. Cordero was taken into custody on the roof of the building. She's been charged with assault. She was also taken to Bellevue Hospital. The mother was taken to Bellevue as well, where she is expected to recover.
The Senate is moving forward with a bipartisan infrastructure plan. Senators voted 67-32 to advance the bill Wednesday, with 17 Republicans joining all 50 Democrats. The vote sends the measure to a formal debate. The bill includes $550 billion in new federal funding and will go towards expanding broadband internet access, rebuilding the electric grid, fixing bridges, and more. The national infrastructure upgrade is one of President Biden's top priorities.
All right, let's talk about what's happening over there in Tokyo. I am just kind of blown away by the hatred being expressed towards Simone Biles. I don't understand it, but Team USA, and they are sticking by Simone Biles. So is the team. Simone Biles thanked her fans yesterday for their love and support after she decided to withdraw from the individual all-around final at the Tokyo Olympics. She tweeted out, you know, thank you very much. The love and support is something that makes my accomplishments and gymnastics seem like they are not as important, because, you know, the support and the outpouring, that is really meaningful to her. She also, by the way, announced that she has chosen not to defend her title, and she decided that she was going to retweet a message about Larry Nassar. And this is believed to be the reason that she has dropped out. It was a message of support from a former gymnast, and it read, "We are talking about the same girl who was molested by her team doctor." Simone Biles was one of many women arrested, molested by this disgusting creep, and she is the only one that was competing. So give her a break, folks. Larry Nassar, by the way, there's also some information coming out on him, Frank. He spent $10,000 on himself over the last 3.5 years since he's been behind bars. He has not, however, paid $57,000 in restitution to his victims. And he even received two stimulus checks, which is just mind-blowing.
Of course.
He was sentenced to 40 to 125 years in prison back in February of 2018. It's because he sexually abused some of his athletes over 20 years, many of his female athletes over 20 years, starting in the late 90s. Michigan State University, they were the ones that employed Nassar. They reached a $500 million settlement, and the deal was intended to compensate the hundreds of this sicko's victims. The Bureau of Prisons officials have required Nassar to pay only $100 a year, and he has paid $300 since he entered the federal prison system in late 2017, but he's spending all his money mainly on his commissary emails and phone calls. And again, his victims included Simone Biles, the only one who's carried on competing.
He spent $10,000 on commissary emails and phone calls. I mean, that's a lot.
I guess he's trying to get himself out of there. Good luck with that, Bob.
Yeah, my goodness. All right. Around 60% of Americans think President Biden's economic policies are why inflation is at its highest point in more than a decade. That's according to a new Morning Consult Politico poll released yesterday. The poll found 59% of voters think Biden's policies are either very responsible or somewhat responsible for the soaring prices. About 28% of people believe the Biden administration is either not too responsible or not responsible at all. In addition, just more than half of those polled also believe the inflation is partially a result of Americans returning to pre-pandemic spending behaviors.
Well, if you watch the horrific January 6th commission events from the other day, you saw a lot of tears. And one of those people crying was Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger. He is one of two people, two Republicans on that board. And on Wednesday, he talked about how he was just overtaken by emotion because of the vulnerability displayed by the officers, the police officers, as they talked about what happened to them on January 6th. He has since been mocked by commentators. He's been mocked by Americans for crying during that testimony. But in his first interview since he decided to show his humanity, he dismissed the criticism. He said it was important to get beyond political considerations and focus on the humanity of the moment.
Well, time for sports at 5:15, thanks to the good folks over at Peerless Boilers. Here is your sports report. Quite a bit happening in sports. Finally, the Mets won one. But the Yankees are reportedly adding a massive bat to their lineup. According to multiple reports, the New York Yankees are acquiring slugging sensation Joey Gallo from the Texas Rangers. Gallo has 25 home runs on the season and has multiple 40 home run seasons during his career. In return, the Yankees are sending the Rangers a haul that includes pitcher Glenn Otto, second baseman Ezequiel Duran, shortstop Josh Smith, and second baseman Trevor Hauver. The Yankees entered Wednesday 9 games back of the Red Sox in the AL East. Yesterday, they beat the Tampa Bay Rays in extra innings by a score of 3-1. As I mentioned, the Mets were ahead of the Braves yesterday. They beat the Braves 2-1 at home. Brandon Drury hit a go-ahead homer as the Mets beat the Braves. Drury broke a 1-1 tie with his seventh inning pitch. Now, the Mets will wrap up their extended series with the Braves this afternoon at Citi Field. Taiwan Walker will take the ball for the Amazons. The right-hander is 7-4 this season. He'll be opposed by Drew Smyly. The left-hander is 7-3. The New Jersey Devils are making the biggest splash locally in free agency on the first day. They are signing defenseman Duje Hamilton. The deal is worth a reported 7 years for $63 million. According to ESPN, the team was behind the move because they wanted to show a commitment to playing meaningful games. The Devils have missed the playoffs 8 of the last 9 seasons. The 28-year-old Hamilton had 42 points last season with Carolina. That sports report is brought to you by the good folks over at Peerless Boilers. At 5:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joe. How's
good morning,
it looking?
Joseph.
Things looking good over there in Newark. Looking forward to hockey season now. It'll be good.
That's it? Just that signing?
Fired up, man. It's going to be a big, 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 big difference. I'll tell you what, they got a backup goalie, too, which they needed desperately. So, you know what? It's looking good. Looking up. All right, Connecticut Turnpike, because I can't read my own handwriting. It's the Cross Island Parkway northbound and Hempstead Turnpike. An accident there. There's an overturned vehicle apparently involved in this. So again, as you travel northbound, again, we're looking pretty good. Staten Island bound Verrazano lower level and Brooklyn bound upper level closed for maintenance on the overnight. That shouldn't be too much longer before they get that out of the way. Both ways, Jersey Turnpike, the Eastern Spur is out. And again, that for maintenance. That continues. Mass Transit, so far so good. Everybody there pretty much on or close to schedule. And alternate side is in effect. This support of service lows. Great values are happening now during the Lowe's Pro Summer Savings Event. Stop by the Pro Desk and see how you can save extra on volume savings orders over $1,500. Plus, find more Pro values across the store now through July 30th. Lowe's, the new home for pros. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, but you don't want to travel far, but you also want to help out maybe your neighbors, I have a weekend tour based on the things I love to do down in Lower Manhattan where I used to live. And it's something that I think the locals there would really appreciate. That is going to be coming up. Frank, what's going on in your business report?
Well, a lot of obviously a lot of wonderment about what this infrastructure bill is going to do with the stock market. I'm going to tell you about that. And some big numbers out today, including weekly jobless claims and pending home sales.
Excellent. And I'm also going to give you an update on Bob Odenkirk, the actor from Better Call Saul, see what's going on with his health. All of that coming up after this quick message. Jet Set Julia coming up at 5:40.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Brian Kilmeade, entertaining and informative.
In my impression of talking to the president is that he thoroughly, it's not that he's a bad loser, he does not think he lost. And I was able to speak to him one time prior, and he said to me, Brian, if I lost, I would just say I lost. You know, whatever reason you want to give, and I'll give right reasons, I would have just said I lost. But I didn't lose this. And he just convinced he didn't lose it, and it goes back to it. Jimmy Carter and Jim Baker warned us of in 2000. Don't do mail-in ballots.
Brian Kilmeade, weekdays at 10 a.m. Listen on the 77 WABC mobile app. All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
The opening bell rings this morning after stocks finished mixed yesterday, in part due to the Federal Reserve. Among other things, the central bank left interest rates at their historic lows. To round out Wednesday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 127 points. The S&P 500 fell by just less than a point to an even 4,400. And the NASDAQ had the best day as it gained 102 points. Second quarter GDP growth leads off today's economic reports, and analysts are forecasting an 8.5% growth rate on top of 6.4% growth in the first quarter. The report is due at 8:30 this morning, along with a weekly look at first-time unemployment claims. The experts forecast 370,000 people filing initial claims last week. Pending home sales for June come out at 10 o'clock this morning, and housing industry analysts forecast a 0.7% gain over May and a 10.1% rise over June of last year.
We have some wonderful news, and we've talked about this guy recently, and I'm trying to remember who brought his name up, but Andrew Capobianco? Who was talking about him?
I'm not sure.
His father or something like that. Anyway, he's a Long Island native, and
Peter King. Peter King was talking about
him. That's it. Yes, exactly. Long Island native Andrew Capobianco and his diving partner, Michael Hickson, snagged a silver medal in the men's 3-meter synchronized dive at the Tokyo Games on Wednesday. Capobianco and Hickson scored 444.36 points. They trailed China's team, who scored 46.82. The 21-year-old is now going to compete in the individual 3-meter event at the Olympics. And he went to school in Wantagh before he moved to Holly Springs, North Carolina. So he has a little stamp, a footprint here on the island. George Young is his former coach on Long Island. He said the diver had ambitions even at a young age. So congratulations to him and good luck to him.
All right. Well, Disney World is bringing back mask mandates beginning on Friday. This includes for the vaccinated as well as the unvaccinated. They will require customers to wear masks indoors and on public transit. The Orlando area theme park had eased mask requirements for vaccinated guests after the CDC told vaccinated Americans they could ditch masks indoors back in May, but Disney announced it was walking back the policy on its website last night.
Well, there was some drama, and it wasn't actually in the sporting event. It was from the room in which the commentators were commentating. A Greek sports TV commentator was fired on Tuesday. He made some pretty outrageous comments about the shape of a South Korean Olympic athlete's eyes. Demosthenis Kemrimris, I don't know if I pronounced that right, he was talking about this table tennis player, Young Young Sik. He said that, his comments were deemed racist, and you can understand why. He said, quote, "Their eyes are so narrow, I can't understand how they can see the ball moving back and forth." That did not go over well. He made the comment after the South Korean defeated a Greek player. And later on, ERT, which is the television station, they announced the firing of this man. They say racist comments have no place on public television in a statement.
The Senate Appropriations Committee is coming to an agreement on funding for Capitol security. Top-ranking lawmakers Vermont Democrat Patrick Leahy and Alabama Republican Richard Shelby have come to a deal for $2 billion in upgrade security at the facility after the January 6th Capitol attack. The funding would go towards Capitol Police, the National Guard, and other agencies that responded that day for the costs incurred. It would also fund security upgrades at the Capitol complex. When a Senate vote will take place is not yet certain, but CNN reports it could come as early as next week.
Well, Bob Odenkirk is in stable condition after experiencing, quote, a heart-related incident. That is according to his doctors. Bob Odenkirk collapsed on the set of Better Call Saul on Tuesday. On Wednesday, his rep said that he was in stable condition. They say that he suffered a heart-related incident, and his son tweeted out Wednesday last night that he is going to be okay, which is good news because earlier in the day, his Breaking Bad co-star Bryan Cranston was on Instagram, and he asked for prayers. That obviously led a lot of people to think that the news was dire, but Odenkirk is allegedly going to be okay. He's currently filming the sixth and final season of the Breaking Bad spinoff Better Call Saul, which my husband heard you talking about it yesterday and trying to get us to watch it and recommending it at least. And so now that is going to be our next one.
Oh, wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. I'm also happy to hear, obviously, that Bob Odenkirk seems to be on the mend. I didn't realize this was the final season, but I'm glad they're heading out while they're still on top. The quality of shows has not diminished at all since the first episode. And, you know, for people, you mentioned that it's a prequel to Breaking Bad. How many seasons can they do if it's a prequel to a show that takes place in the near future, right? So right. It's probably about time to hang them up.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to your review. The family of the late Reverend Billy Graham has good news to share. His daughter, Anne, announced yesterday that her son and Reverend Graham's grandson, Jonathan Lotz, is now out of the ICU. He was in critical condition for COVID-19. Anne, who founded Angel Ministries in North Carolina, is asking for prayers as her son begins his rehab.
Well, this is not nice. A vandal defaced a Medusa statue that is in Manhattan at a park there as a tribute to the Me Too movement. It cost thousands of dollars in damage. I'm sure the sculptor is not too happy about that. But this is actually the second time in the last few months. Apparently, this vandal snapped a bronze sword off of the 1,000-pound Greek mythological figure who, if you look at the sculpture itself, she is depicted clutching a severed head in a park across from Manhattan Supreme Court. Vanessa Solomon, who molded the statue, it was actually designed by an Argentine-Italian artist, Luciano Garbati, but Solomon molded it. She says it's very upsetting, it's symbolic, and what comes to mind is that an angry man did it. Who knows if that's the case, but in Greek mythology, Medusa was raped by the powerful god Poseidon. She was blamed for it, and then she turned into a monstrous beast with a head of snakes and a gaze that turned men to stone.
Oh, I've known a few Medusas in my day. All right, well, let's check in with Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the sevens. Joe, what's on tap for your weekend this weekend?
I don't know. I know my I almost said daughter-in-law. My stepdaughter's coming in from Pennsylvania tonight.
No.
So I'm not really 100% sure what we're doing. I wait for my instructions and then follow them, you know?
No, you sound like my husband.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's a lot easier that way.
Yeah. Have one person make the plan. Yeah, it's easy until you make too many plans. You make plans with people he doesn't want to hang out with.
Yeah. You just go and, you know, hope they have Bud Light. That's all. Cross Island northbound at Hempstead Turnpike, an accident with an overturned vehicle. That'll continue. Now, Staten Island bound Verus on a lower level. Brooklyn bound upper. Again, all lanes are closed with maintenance now both ways on the Jersey Turnpike. The Eastern Spur, all lanes are closed again. That for maintenance. Yeah, the usual overnight stuff. Now, other than that, though, we're really actually in pretty good shape as you travel around this morning. Really not that much out there for you to worry about, at least not yet. Mass transit is good, too. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today going to be in effect. This support of service is Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. And it's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. So, Frank, have you gone down to Lower Manhattan recently?
Yes, I'm there regularly.
Okay. Well, it's a cool place to hang out. It's a great place to take pictures and photos and things like that because of the lighting. The lighting is amazing down there.
And as I'm sure you'll get into in the Jet Set Juliet travel report, there are so many great historical places down there. In fact, you know, I was going to – there's another place that I get cocktails at that's kind of historic, but they're not open tomorrow afternoon for drinks.
Well, it's the
Friars Club, right? So they're not open tomorrow, but I wanted to take some friends for – cocktails at somewhere historic. And so I was making a list of all the really historic places to drink in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And so many of them are in Lower Manhattan, the downtown area.
Yeah, Francis Tavern. Lots of great places.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to talk about a couple, you know, little quirkier things in your Jet Set Juliet travel update. We'll also have a business report. Anything exciting happening in business?
Well, of course it's exciting when you're talking about infrastructure and stocks. Well, you're not excited by infrastructure?
You know, it's funny. You really, maybe with a Bud Light I would be, just like Joe said.
You guys in the Bud Light.
I haven't had a Bud Light since I was in college, I don't think.
I am going to be telling you about why Twitter is closing its San Francisco and New York offices.
Yes. All right. Well, and we'll, of course, have our On This Day. That is coming up after Deb's headlines. Hello, Deborah.
Good morning, Julianne. I don't know. The Bud Light sounds good. I'm Deborah Valentine. Well, mask up if you are entering a federal building, regardless of your COVID-19 vaccination status. The Deputy Director for the Office of Management and Budget has directed federal employees, contractors, and visitors to wear a mask. President Biden expected to announce a mandatory vaccine mandate for federal employees later today. And a federal appeals court said yesterday former President Donald Trump and his three eldest children cannot force a lawsuit into arbitration. The plaintiffs in this suit are people who claim they were cheated by a business Trump was paid to promote. A teen was shot in the Hamilton Heights section of Manhattan between 142nd and 143rd streets last night. The 17-year-old is in stable condition. The suspect's at large. No motive released. No prison time for a former member of NXIVM leader Keith Raniere's sex trafficking enterprise. Prosecutors cited Lauren Salzman's extraordinary cooperation in this case as the main reason she received community service. She'd pleaded guilty to racketeering. The Port Authority says that vehicular traffic between New Jersey and New York City is approaching pre-pandemic levels. It's off now by just 2% after climbing 7% in June. Ridership, though, on PATH is down 63%, and the trend is similar on the MTA. That's your 77-second WABC News update. Juliet will have your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. I'm Deborah Valentine.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
On this day, ladies and gentlemen, on this day, July 29th, says Juliette Huddy and Frank Morano.
That's right.
Frank, this is a very exciting one for me, I have to tell you, because I find this fascinating. It is a total betrayal by leaders, and it should never have happened. A letter that was sent from the Kublai Khan to the Japanese emperor in 1279 was delivered by five emissaries. They were dispatched by the Kublai Khan from the Mongol Yuan dynasty. They were beheaded once they got to Japan by the Japanese emperor.
Oof.
Yes.
Don't
mess with the Japanese, according to this Japanese emperor, because apparently the letter from the Kublai Khan to the Japanese emperor threatened use of force.
In 1890, painter Vincent van Gogh died at the age of 37.
Yes, we had talked about that a few days ago. That's right. In 1567, there was the royal coronation of James VI, who was crowned King of the Scots at Stirling Castle. He also was James I of England.
In 1957, Tonight, starring Jack Parr, premiered on NBC television. The show's name was later changed to The Jack Parr Tonight Show. When Parr left the show, the name changed to simply The Tonight Show.
Do you know who in my family performed on The Tonight Show?
I do.
Who might that have been?
That was your mother, a very talented singer.
Got it.
Who I have played on The Other Side of Midnight.
That's right, Erica Trevor. She was actually 5 months pregnant with my brother at the time.
And you've shown the photos of her as a younger woman, and the two of you look identical.
I don't see it.
Oh, are you kidding? Then what you said yesterday about your eyes needing to be checked are true. You and your mother when she was younger look identical.
That's so weird. I just don't see it. I feel like, and especially as I'm getting older, I feel like I look more like my dad. God help me. 1696, on this day, July 29th, Louis XIV of France and Victor Amadeus II, the Duke of Savoy, signed the Peace of Turin. It was a turning point in the War of the League.
In 1975, President Ford became the first U.S. president to visit Auschwitz, where he paid tribute to the victims of the Nazi concentration camp in Poland.
Well, in 715, this was very sad for the sailors, but probably great for the people who came hundreds of years later to find the treasure. But 10 Spanish treasure galleons sunk off the Florida coast by a hurricane.
In 1999, a federal judge in Little Rock, Arkansas, fined President Clinton $89,000 for lying about his relationship with former White House intern Monica Lewinsky in his deposition in the Paula Jones sexual harassment case.
And in 1793, Frank, have you watched that TV show? I've told people to watch this. It was on AMC, and I think it's on Netflix now. It's called Turn. It's about the Washington spy ring.
No, you've told me about it. It sounds great.
So good. But anyway, the best character on that show is a guy, I cannot remember the actor's name. He's so darn talented. But he played John Graves Simcoe, who was one of the British, and he was a very, very nasty character on the show. But John Graves Simcoe in 1793, on this very day, decided to build a fort and settlement at Toronto. He sailed into the bay, and thus he was basically the founder of Toronto.
Well, and on this day, I want to wish a happy birthday to Elizabeth Dole. She is, of course, Bob Dole's wife, and she also served in the administration of Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush, and also served in the U.S. Senate herself for a term. Also, the 79th birthday for actor Tony Sirico from The Sopranos.
Oh, happy birthday, Tony. She probably listens to our radio station. 1836, by the way, was the inauguration of the Arc de Triomphe in Paris.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, I really like this. I enjoy myself very much in this segment. I love history.
Well, let me tell you what today is.
Okay.
Today is a great day to celebrate a fan favorite appetizer, because today is National Chicken Wing Day.
Oh.
The tasty food has long been a staple at restaurants and tailgate parties. According to some estimates, we eat about 290 of them per person every year. Some places participating in today's celebration include Buffalo Wild Wings, Hooters, and Wingstop.
Wait, who eats 200 and what per year of wings?
We as Americans eat about 290 of them per person.
That is absurd. Absolutely absurd.
Well, and now there's a little bit of a chicken wing shortage going on right now.
Is there? Well, yeah. Maybe we are. I would eat like maybe one or two, but those things are a little, I don't know, creepy to me.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Joe? Are you a chicken wing guy?
I love chicken wings, but they got to be just the wings, not like, I don't like them buffalo wings.
You don't like buffalo?
Oh, I love to see.
No. Oh. You know, I remember doing this every Super Bowl Sunday. I just looked it up. 28 million pounds of chicken wings on Super Bowl Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
A lot of chicken wing.
Yeah, 1.5 billion chicken wings and 8 million pounds of guacamole are consumed Super Bowl Sunday.
You don't see a chicken flying for months after the Super Bowl.
All right, here we go. Northbound 287 at exit 37 on the exit ramp there again. That continues. Also, as you begin to travel on the Jersey Turnpike, don't forget that Eastern Spur is still shut down. That for maintenance, overnight maintenance. It shouldn't be too much longer before they get that one out of the way. We also had a problem as you traveled out onto the Cross Island, as I said, up by Hempstead Turnpike. They're just updating that. Yeah, it's still there. An overturned vehicle still being cleared. And Mass Transit looks to be in pretty good shape, at least right now. Just check with everybody. They're all on or close. And alternates out of the street parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7's Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Rob, our board engineer op guy, just said it's Samuel Rukin. That's who this actor was who played John Graves Simcoe in the series Turn, Washington Spies. He's an English actor and a DJ, as a matter of fact. Does DJing out in Los Angeles, supposedly. Just excellent, excellent actor. Anyway, coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, spend a weekend nearby helping the folks out down in the lower Manhattan area who are struggling right now because of the pandemic. And I'll give you some great ideas for day two of your weekend coming up after this quick. Oh, no. Coming up, we're going to be doing what? We're going to be doing a.
Well, we got.
Going to take a quick break?
Yeah, we got sports. We got the Jet Set Juliet travel report. We got business. We got
That's all sorts of business stuff. Yeah, so we'll do that just after this.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
The opening bell rings this morning after stocks finished mixed yesterday, in part due to the Federal Reserve. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 127 points. The S&P 500 fell by less than a point, and the NASDAQ had a great day as it gained 102 points. Twitter is closing its offices in San Francisco and New York immediately as new coronavirus infections are surging across the country. The shutdown comes just 2 weeks after the social media giant reopened the offices that had been closed since last year. Twitter says it's also holding off reopening other offices, also on Wednesday. Google announced it's delaying staff's return to offices until October.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Frank.
You're welcome.
It is time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jet Set Juliet. So let's say if you're looking for something to do this weekend, but you don't want to travel far or really travel much at all, and you want to help out your neighbors by paying forward a bit, I have a few suggestions. I was inspired by a piece, as I said yesterday, that I read in the New York Times about Lower Manhattan. Things have been challenging down there, especially for the local merchants, thanks to the pandemic. So why not help put some coins in their coffers by making a weekend of it and just visiting, maybe staying over? Here is day two of the weekend tour, and you can listen to day one on Twitter at Jet Set Juliet or on 77 WABC Early News' Twitter account. And these are things based on the things that I like to do, and I think you might too. So let's say this is Sunday now. You're going to wake up a little late on Sunday, and you're going to head over to Pier 25 at Hudson River Park. This is such an awesome area. There's an 18-hole mini golf course. There are volleyball courts. You also have the Sherman Zwicker. What is a Sherman Zwicker, you ask? It's an old schooner made of wood that's perpetually docked there at the pier. You can climb aboard. You can grab seafood till your heart's content. It's actually very, very pretty. Honestly, this restaurant, it's called Grand Banks, and it's on the Sherman Zwicker, and it's been called by New York Magazine the best waterfront dining in New York City. It was inspired by the floating oyster barges that used to line the Manhattan waterfront back in the 17 and 1800s. So you'll be shucking sustainably harvested oysters while you slug down nautical cocktails like the Skipper Key, which features rosé with fresh lemon and strawberries plus seltzer. Sounds delicious. Then you can take a stroll on Pier 26, which is right next door, which is all about relaxation and chilling out. Big swings, comfy loungers, lots of plants, wooden walkways. You can take a little lunch and sit at a counter. They actually have counters that are set up there that overlook the water. It's really pretty. Afterwards, you can head back towards your hotel, but make sure you stop by or at least walk by the many art galleries there on Walker Street, Cortland Alley, Lispinard, and other Tribeca area streets. Again, if you're an Instagrammer type person, if you love taking pictures and selfies, this is the area to do it. Now, another hotel that I've been to a million times, although it's had almost as many incarnations, is what they're calling the Roxy Hotel. It's been around for a while. I think they used to call it the Tribeca Hotel. Or
the Tribeca Grand.
Tribeca Grand.
That's when I used to hang out there.
Yeah, me too. That's funny. Well, it is at the Triangle right there where 6th Avenue meets Church Street. It's a gorgeous hotel with live jazz in the bar or at their club downstairs below street level. And again, if you're into selfies and amazing backgrounds, this is a really perfect spot to stop, both inside the hotel and outside. You can grab American Bites at the bar or at the restaurant, the Plaza. And if you're into this kind of thing, the Roxy has an old-school style cinema featuring indie and foreign films, which is really, really cool. And so that is your little trip. There are a million places to go. I'm going to post some other things on my Instagram and Twitter so that you can check these places out. But I also wanted to reiterate some of the breaking news, and you had mentioned this, Frank, that starting tomorrow, both Disneyland and Disney World will require face coverings to be worn by cast members and guests aged 2 years old and up in the indoor venues. So this means onboard all enclosed resort transportation, when you're going through the indoor queue lines, on attractions, inside retail shops, and any indoor restaurants, unless you're actively eating and drinking. The change in policy obviously coming because of this rise in COVID Delta cases. Masks are optional in all outdoor areas at this point. The U.S. Travel Association president and CEO Roger Dow reacted to this updated guidance from the CDC yesterday. He says it should not prevent return to travel. I'm really hoping that that's the case. He says that adhering to the CDC guidance allows Americans to safely continue the return to our professional lives. And he says there are clear guidelines to keep travel safe, and these regulations are effective. So he's okay with this.
Right.
And that's your Jet Set Juliet travel update.
Thank you, Juliet. I honestly can't understand for the life of me, from what the CDC perspective or Disney's, what the value is in having vaccinated Americans continue to wear a mask when we're told repeatedly it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Well, I guess it's just trying to not kill the unvaccinated who are refusing to get their shots. I mean, I don't know what else to say, because we can get it. I mean, we don't want to get sick, but I mean, it sounds to me like you're not going to have a severe reaction. It's going to be cold-like symptoms for most of us who have been vaccinated if we get this Delta variant, but we could still spread it to people who have not been vaccinated, and we could kill them. So, I mean, do we put the onus on us or put the onus on the unvaccinated?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I mean, I have my opinions on that.
Same. The city is now, by the way, offering $100 to people as an incentive to get vaccinated. So if that's if that'll do it for you, perhaps that'll do it for you. All right. In sports, which is brought to you by Peerless Boilers, the Yankees snuck by the Tampa Bay Rays 3-1 in 10 innings in St. Petersburg. Aaron Judge hit an RBI single in the 10th, and DJ LeMahieu hit a sacrifice fly in the 5th. Nestor Cortez recorded 5 strikeouts and 1 earned run in 5 innings, but Chad Green got the win after a scoreless 9th, and Aroldis Chapman locked down his 20th save. The Yankees have won 3 of 4, while the Rays have lost 3 in a row. The Yankees are 8.5 back of Boston in the AL East. They're going to take on the Rays again today and look to sweep the series in St. Petersburg. They'll play this afternoon for their finale of a 3-game set. Brandon Drury hit a go-ahead homer as the Mets beat the Braves 2-1 at home. Drury broke a 1-1 tie with his 7th inning pitch, and Jeff McNeil batted in the other run for the Mets, which have won 5 out of their last 8. Trevor May got his 4th win in relief, and Edwin Diaz secured his 23rd save. The Metropolitans have a 4-game lead in the NL East over Philadelphia. And the traditional hockey game between the NYPD and the FDNY will return to Madison Square Garden on September 9th. There will be a ceremony to honor the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and the lives lost in the attack, as well as the first responders who've lost their lives from illnesses related to the attacks. For those not in attendance, the games will also air on ESPN. Two at 5:47. Let's get a look at traffic and transit on the sevens with Joe Nolan.
I did the PA for the Fun City Bowl, the football game they play against.
Oh, that's
each other.
Fun!
It was a good football game. I'm not kidding you. It was played at a very high level. I didn't think it was going to be. Cross Island northbound Hempstead Turnpike, an accident with an overturned vehicle. They're still working on that. Staten Island bound Verrazano lower level and Brooklyn bound upper. Again, that is still shut down. And again, that continues that for the overnight maintenance. Turnpike both ways. The eastern spur continues to be shut. That for maintenance. Now, if you're traveling northbound on 287, they should be reopening the off-ramp to exit 37. And again, that because of an earlier problem there with overnight road work. Mass Transit seems to be in pretty good shape on alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. And this report is a service of Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you're earning your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted in 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Well, if you have a student at one of the CUNY universities, they are probably cheering right now over this news. The City University of New York is going to be using $125 million in federal COVID stimulus funds to wipe out debt for 50,000 students who suffered hardships during the pandemic. The news came out Wednesday. The CUNY Comeback Program, as it's called, will cover the costs of unpaid tuition and fee balances. It's also going to provide emergency grants to kids, or students, I should say, who experienced other financial woes in other realms. And it really, it's a win-win when you look at it. The financial assistance will help CUNY retain students because, Frank, enrollment just plummeted after the outbreak last year. In-person classes were canceled and were offered online, and a lot of students work and attend part-time. So they just decided to hold off. So, yeah.
Well, thousands of music fans will be in Chicago today for the start of Lollapalooza. The annual music event at Giant Park kicks off with some new policies. Attendees must provide a printed copy of their COVID vaccination card, vaccine record, or negative coronavirus test within 72 hours of entering. Those who are unvaccinated must wear a mask. The festival runs through Sunday and will feature acts like the Foo Fighters, Miley Cyrus, Post Malone, Megan Thee Stallion, and Tyler, the Creator.
It's kind of a motley mix. We've got
it
Journey.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, Modest Mouse, Limp Bizkit, a lot of interesting bands there. But probably not the international type of event that it usually is, because obviously a lot of folks can't get in here. A lot of these bands can't get in, which is unfortunate. But hopefully things will start changing. I don't know. I'm worried about this Delta variant. Very worried. Let's see. Well, you actually talked about this earlier, but I just wanted to reiterate that Twitter is reclosing its New York and San Francisco offices. I mean, I think you talked about that in business. But Google announced Wednesday that it was actually pushing back its reopening until at least October, and it's going to require employees to get vaccinated against COVID-19. So that is a new one.
A growing number of adults know someone who is either transgender or gender neutral. A new Pew Research survey out this week found that 42% of Americans know somebody who's transgender. That's up 5 points from 2017. About 25% of U.S. adults know someone who goes by gender-neutral pronouns, such as they and them. That's up 8 points from 2018. The study also found that younger generations are more likely to know someone who's transgender.
Do you know somebody who's transgender?
I was trying to think. I don't have any friends that are transgender, but I've interviewed a number of people and had them in studio who are transgender, and I've dealt with a lot of callers who are transgender. So I'm not personal friends with anyone that's transgender, but my wife is. She has a friend who is a transgendered woman.
Well, yes, we have a friend who is a transgender woman. She's actually the lead singer of a pretty well-known alt-metal band from Brooklyn, Life of Agony, Mina Caputo. And she's wonderful. She's a fantastic person. This is a story out of Atlanta. This is just a crazy, awful, insane story. And I pray to God they find the person who did this. But a woman and her dog were fatally stabbed inside an Atlanta park on Wednesday. It happened very early on. Catherine Janice, 40 years old, and her dog Bowie were found at about 1 a.m. inside of Piedmont Park, which is, again, in the city's Midtown neighborhood. It's a very popular park. The woman who lived near the park had told her partner that she was taking a quick walk, apparently, and police said it was just a gruesome scene. Police announced a $10,000 reward for information regarding this murder and the slaying of the dog as well. Investigators are trying to find out if she was targeted or was the victim of a random act of violence. But either way, just awful.
That is for sure. Lottery players will soon have a third chance each week to win the Powerball jackpot. The lottery has announced that Powerball drawings, currently held twice each week, will be held three times each week beginning August 23rd. Players will be able to try their luck at winning the game's big money grand prize on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Players in 45 states can buy tickets for the game, as can players in D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Well, this is romantic. Blake Shelton introduced his new wife as Gwen Stefani Shelton during the CMA Summer Jam show. They did a duet 3 weeks, by the way, after tying the knot. And it appears she may have already legally amended her name to take his surname. This happened actually during a concert on July 27th. It was a CMA Summer Jam in Nashville, Tennessee, where he officially introduced the Hollaback Girl as Gwen Stefani Shelton, which drew audience cheers.
Officials are starting to make decisions on the fight to beat back the coronavirus pandemic. And as that continues across New York, Governor Cuomo is now mandating all state hospital workers who deal with patients get vaccinated, while other state employees face the option of rolling up their sleeves or getting tested each week. The announcement came a day after the CDC suggested vaccinated people once again mask up indoors, but state nor city officials have yet to make that decision. Starting Friday, New York City is offering another incentive, as I mentioned, to get vaccinated, offering anyone who gets their first dose at a city-run site $100.
Well, I mean, if that's all it takes to get you to go and get your vaccine after refusing it for months and months and months, yay. We want to give you an update now on some sad news. A Brooklyn mom who fell down a flight of stairs. Actually, she was kind of pulled down the flight of stairs during an attempted robbery at a Manhattan subway station earlier this month has passed away. The woman died Wednesday, one day after her family said on their GoFundMe page that she wouldn't survive after she underwent brain surgery and that they were planning on donating her organs. The son, who is 22 years old, was on his way with her, she's only 58 years old, to a doctor's appointment on July 17th when they were attacked from behind at the Broadway and Canal Q Line station down in Chinatown. The attacker is still on the loose. He tried to grab the son's backpack, and the son reached, you know, to try to get try to remain standing towards his mom, but she ended up falling backwards. They both ended up falling backwards, and the guy ran off. She remained unconscious at the hospital, and she never recovered. Unfortunately, she did pass away.
Terrible story. Well, speaking of crime here in New York, the NYPD says shootings and serious crimes are down when compared to last year, while gun arrests are up. Chief of Department Rodney Harrison says youth violence and gang-related shootings are an ongoing concern, particularly in the Bronx. Chief Harrison says public housing buildings have seen an over 100% spike in shootings, including 46 at NYCHA properties in the Bronx. Still, gun arrests are up 43% compared to this time last year.
Well, a former LIRR conductor was busted for pocketing train tickets. Apparently, he was collecting them from customers to hand out to friends to reuse or submit for refunds. This guy has pleaded guilty and paid a $1,000 fine, according to the Suffolk County Prosecutor's Office, also the MTA Inspector General. Robert Anderson is his name, 61 years old. West Islip is where he lives. He pleaded guilty yesterday morning to misdemeanor official misconduct after the investigators apparently rode the rails while he was on duty to test whether their tickets ended up in his signed end of shift reports. And apparently they did not. He made $150,000 last year. He was arrested in April on charges of falsifying forms, petty larceny, and official misconduct. He faces up to 4 years in prison for the charges.
Joe
faced up to 4 years.
Joe Nolan, you mentioned how the one of the levels of the Verrazano Bridge is still closed yet again for overnight maintenance. Mm-hmm. This has screwed up my evening commute immeasurably. I spend so much time waiting to get on that Verrazano Bridge. How long does this overnight maintenance continue on the Verrazano Bridge?
It ends right around now, around 6 o'clock in the morning.
No, no, I'm saying how many months from now? How long will I be plagued with this?
It's been going on forever. It just seems like it's every day. I think they're just doing stuff. You know, it's an old bridge. You know, I was over that the first day it opened.
In 1964?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
My dad put me in the back of his Ford Falcon convertible. We went across the bridge.
That's wild. You know who else was there that first day?
Who?
Donald Trump. 19
really?
Years old. Yeah.
Wow. It was crazy. But I remember people beeping their horns and, you know, cases of
President
beer.
President Johnson was also there.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know any of that. Yeah. I was six. I don't know. What do I know? Cross Island northbound Hempstead Turnpike, an accident, overturned vehicle that's being cleared. Also 287 northbound at exit 4 Durham Avenue, an accident left lane. Also Route 23, we're slow right around Route 80. Emergency repair work, PSENG on the scene of that. Now, other than that, mass transit, everybody right on or close to schedule this morning. And alternate side once again today is in effect. This report, a service of Indeed.com. Take the shortcut to your next great hire. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, instant match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thanks, Joe. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at scattered thunderstorms this morning. They'll become more widespread this afternoon. Unfortunately, some of these storms may be severe, and we'll get to a high of only 77 degrees. Tonight, the thunderstorms continue. They may contain strong, gusty winds, but once we hit midnight or thereabouts, things will start to clear up. And by tomorrow, we're going to have a beautiful day, 80 degrees, lots of sun, decent amount of humidity. Not going to be great, but I mean, it's literally 80 degrees and sunny. So who cares? Friday night's going to be beautiful, mostly clear sky. Saturday is really the day, 79 degrees, lots of sun, low humidity. Picture perfect day. Sunday, we're looking at some showers in the evening, partly cloudy skies in the morning. And Monday, we're heading into the work week with a nice sunny day. 81 degrees. Not bad.
Absolutely. So Friday's going to be good. Saturday's going to be good.
Saturday's going to be great. Friday is going to be awesome, but Saturday's going to be awesomer.
But today we could have some rain.
Today's going to be lousy.
All right. Yeah. Well, you can't win them all, right? All right. Coming up after the top of the hour, we'll have more news coming your way, including 25 dogs rescued from a Queens home and a whole bunch of news about minors here in New York City. But first, here's Deb Valentine with 77 seconds of news. Is deciding to do. It's a real shame. I feel bad for this guy.
No, I feel badly too.
Well, it was like the Goya Foods situation. I mean, people weren't buying Goya Foods all of a sudden. And it's just, you know, this is what happens when you take a stand and you've got customers or viewers or listeners, you know, you can alienate people.
Well, thanks to Peerless Boilers for making Sid Rosenberg available to us for this preview of what's coming up on today's edition of the Bernie and Sid Show. All right. I'm going to head out of here and hopefully stay ahead of the rain. Juliet, I will see you tomorrow.
I will see you as well, and be very careful driving home.